Right now, we have just over 2,000 vehicles that have been converted onto E85 or are using flex fuel conversion kits. What we do on these vehicles that are being used for E85 in particular, each vehicle is inspected to check whether it has the correct fuel lines and injection fuel system to use E85 before we fit it. If it does not conform with the standards required to use E85, we will not fit a flex fuel system on it, and therefore we do not recommend that E85 is used in that vehicle. When we come and we look at the mandatory levels of E5 and E10, right now there is no vehicle that I'm aware of that is unable to run on E10, irrespective of what age it is. If people say that vehicles that are older than 1990 and onwards, saying if they can't run on E5 or E10, my question to them is, how is it that they ran on blends in this country from the 1975 to 1993 with no problems or any issues of running a vehicle at 20%? So I think that blows their theories out of the water completely. Yes, there is a lot of misinformation out there. I think predominantly coming from fuel companies who are quite worried about biofuels taking away their market share. And I believe that's where a lot of that is coming from.
What are the benefits of using this blended fuel in terms of environment, costs, accessibility?
I think the first point of to start off with is that, as you're aware, you can no longer buy leaded fuel. Everything is unleaded fuel if it's not ethanol in this country. That is what was happening prior to the mandatory blending coming in. Petrol coming into this country as unleaded fuel was using an oxygenate, which basically increases the octane level of the fuel from a substandard level up to an unleaded quality, which is an octane level of 95 and above. In the past, lead was used to do that, to increase the octane rating of fuel. When it was found that lead was bad for the environment and health, etc., it was banned, and they had to find other forms of oxygenates to increase the octane level of fuel. In today's age, throughout the world, the most common form of oxygenate that is used is actually ethanol. So any petrol that was coming into this country prior to mandatory blending already had lower levels of ethanol inside the fuel already to ensure that it reached the octane levels required and set out by the Standards Association of Zimbabwe. All we are doing is we are increasing those oxygenate levels with a cleaner burning and a more environmentally better fuel than the unleaded. By adding more ethanol, that is what we are doing. It is environmentally friendly because the carbon emissions balance between the production of ethanol and the emissions of carbon that come from burning ethanol are virtually zero rating. In other words, any ethanol that is burnt and the carbon emitted from that burning of the ethanol is recaptured by the growing of the crop, in this case, sugarcane, to produce the ethanol.
How is this program being implemented?
Okay, right now, how it has been rolled out with the Zimbabwe Energy Regulatory Authority are the people who dictate how and where the fuel gets blended. All we do as Green Fuel is we supply the fuel to the stations where blending can take place. And these stations are the wholesale stations, not the service stations or retail service stations in the cities and the towns and on the roads. It's places like Noik, where most of the fuel in the country is provided by the pipeline to Noik. It is then drawn down by the separate fuel companies from Noik to their various service stations. So it's quite convenient that there's ethanol placed at, for instance, Noik, and any petrol that is drawn from Noik by any of the fuel companies has the mandatory amount of ethanol blended into it before it departs the premises. The same thing is happening at Faruka, where once again, which is a national oil company outlet station. And then more recently, we've engaged some of the fuel companies directly in the Bulawayo area, particularly Zura and Engine, who have now put in facilities to do blending there and which are being monitored by Zimra.
We spoke to former Energy Minister, Mr. Elton Mangoma. He expressed concern on the implementation of the program, saying that the land was taken from communal people and that the company has a monopoly over the project. What is your comment on this?
Okay. Let me give you some background to how the project started. The Arda Chisimbunji estate and Arda Middle Sabi estate in 2009, when we reached agreement with Arda, to go into a build, operate, and transfer agreement with them was being run by ADA. They were basically defunct estates and non-operational due to the economic meltdown in the country. Green Fuel managed to secure some private investments to resuscitate these estates and to build a factory to produce ethanol. And ADA basically has given us a 20-year build, operate, and transfer agreement. On the back of mandatory banning, and because this is a strategic development and an import substitution and energy-generating project which benefits the entire nation, the government has seen fit to rather turn this into a joint venture. We have signed memorandums of understanding with the government through ADA, which is the parastatal and the government branch, that we will be entering into a joint venture with them, and currently we are underway in negotiations with us to complete it. So there is complete and utter working together with the government of Zimbabwe in this whole project. And in fact, we have national project status from the government of Zimbabwe. So it is in conjunction with them and with their approval.